Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Now, may I address you as Mr. Shankar?
Yes.
That would be fine. Hello?
Hello.
Wonderful. I just wanted to start off by asking you a few questions.
Do, please.
Thank you. And your most recent tour this summer has taken you all over the world, from Latvia and Russia to Lebanon and Morocco.
Yeah.
And your role as an ambassador of world music is an example of outreach toward peace and understanding. What do you believe are the most important lessons that you can teach your students on becoming multicultural musical ambassadors?
That's a tall one.
It is. It will be the tallest of them all.
First of all, this ambassador of music and father of world music, all this has been attributed by different wonderful friends and, you know, admirers, which I am thankful, but sometimes it can be misunderstood, because Indian classical music to us is as classical music as the Western classical music. And it's a serious form of music which has a very deep-rooted science, you know. It's not a folk music or pop music.
Right, no,
as,
it isn't.
As many people who don't know about it have the wrong impression. Like in the olden days, the hippies had that wrong impression, which I, you know, it took me many years to establish our music and make it known as it is as classical as music as Bach or Beethoven, and it should be heard with the same feeling of respect or, you know, understanding. And I have been able to be successful in that, working for almost 45 years everywhere in the world. And this last tour has been very interesting because of, you know, present day situation, where I really was amazed to find in all remote corners people who really admired, and had tremendous effect after the music. And particularly now that I'm touring in States, it is a bit different than all my other tours, because the first part of the program, I have 10 wonderful musicians,
ooh,
young, all of them young, playing different instruments from India. And it's an ensemble for which I have composed different, almost 4 pieces. And after intermission, I perform along with my daughter, Anushka. The first part, of course, is also led and conducted by Anushka. So this is a very different presentation, and it has been, we have performed few places, it has been tremendous success.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I recall seeing you when you were in Storrs, Connecticut, probably 10 years ago now.
Is that right?
And Anushka played along, I believe, at the end of the show, just one song, and my, she has grown into a wonderful musician.
Oh, fantastic.
So yeah. I know personally, I'm looking forward to the comparison between the different shows that I'm about to see.
Uh-huh. And you will be really happy and surprised.
Whenever I listen to your music, Mr. Shankar, I find myself happy.
Thank you.
And I read in a previous interview that upon your first visit to New York City in 1932, you saw Cab Calloway at the legendary Cotton Club and Will Rogers on Broadway.
Yeah, and many, many people.
How does it,
and many others, like Louis Armstrong,
right,
Duke Ellington,
well, how does it
Count Basie, name it.
How does it make you feel, you know, to know that members of your audience, perhaps this Wednesday night here in Storrs, will recount a similar lasting experience from seeing you perform?
Well, I have no idea. I'm really waiting to see. yes.
Now, personally, one of my major inspirations, sensually and emotionally, is my wife. How has, speaking of Anushka, and you know, how has your relationships with the women in your life been an inspiration to you as an artist?
You never had a chance to read my book, did you?
I have not yet, no.
Ragmala. Well, I have written quite, I mean, I won't say it's a sensational book, but I have been as frank as I could.
Right.
And women have been always great inspiration in my life, but for last almost 15 years, little less than that, Sukanya, who is my wife and
right.
mother of Anushka, is the main inspiration in my life, I can say that. And of course, Anushka is also a fantastic joy and inspiration for me.
Absolutely. And her latest CD is wonderful.
Oh, I'm so proud. I'm also very proud and happy with my elder daughter, Nora Jones.
Yes, yes. Both wonderful voices and talent. And
It's a double blessing in my life.
It is. You have a lot of happiness surrounding your
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
And I'm so happy that you get a chance to let that happiness drip onto your audience through your music. It truly is a wonderful sound that you bring that I feel blessed to be able to hear.
I hope you'll be coming to the concert.
I will be there very close to
it's
the front
row. After tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'll be very close to the front row this time.
And you say I was there how long ago?
I believe it was around 10 years or so. It might have been a little longer. It's hard to count the years now.
Is it going to be the same theater?
Same theater, Jorgensen Auditorium,
well,
yes.
I'll recognize when I see it, but honestly, I don't remember anything.
No, I imagine you've been many, many places since. Now, speaking of performing, and which is what we're going to talk mostly about, you have performed in front of countless people all over the world. In 1990, you even performed for the British royal family. Do you ever get nervous before you perform?
Always.
Yeah.
To me, each performance is like the first time. Absolutely.
Really?
Honestly. Whether it's a big place or royal family or, you know, a remote place where I've never been anywhere, it is the same thing.
Wow. So, now do you, when you go into a show like Wednesday, do you know exactly, do you have a list of what you're going to play? Do you ever do anything sort of free form?
Well, I decide actually either that morning or the day before. I vaguely think of 2-3 choices, but I finally, it is sometimes, you know, just few hours before.
Yeah. I believe.
Because we have got hundreds of things to choose from, ragas. And
a lot of ragas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. So, sometimes it comes in a flood, this one or that one, you know.
Depending on the feeling of the day?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And now, back in 1999, you did a CD with
Yehudi Menuhin.
Yes.
Yeah, that was even earlier. It was in the 70s.
Oh, okay. So it was re-released in 1990.
It was re-released, right.
I have to admit, I just picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness! What a difference of the two sounds blending together.
Yeah,
it is something special for the ear.
Have you heard the one I did with the greatest flute player Jean-Pierre Rampal?
Jean-Pierre, absolutely.
Yeah, that also is remarkable. I was very inspired to compose the pieces for all of them. You know, the both of them.
Yes. That actual CD never leaves my CD player.
And have you heard the thing that I collaborated with, what is his name? Oh, my God, my memory is sometimes failing me. The minimal famous composer. Oh, God.
Oh, that's fine. Actually, something that I'm very interested in is if you could tell me a little bit about Nada Brahma and the Ravi Shankar Foundation. I'm very interested in that.
Yeah. Well, Ravi Shankar Foundation is actually to help the center in Delhi that I've started. It's known as Ravi Shankar Center, simply. And this is not a school.
Mm-hmm.
This is really to enhance advanced students or scholars of music and help them to get deeper into our music. And also, I have taken it very seriously, the whole idea of appreciation of music, what to listen for. Because, you see, in India, we have two different, not different music, but two different forms of music in North and South. And the people from North don't appreciate much of the South representation of the classical music and the vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have very little idea of Western serious music, you know, like symphonic music,
right.
or opera. So this is something which has really not been done at all properly anywhere for that matter. You know, what to really listen for and what are the points to appreciate, the knowledge, and then of course the music itself is most important. You don't have to give lecture for it, you know.
Absolutely, hands-on. Ears
these
on.
Are the things we have archive, we have recording studio, also encouraging new experimentation and everything. So this is something which I'm doing in the towards the end part of my life.
Well,
I like to do.
Yes, I did. I just did read a little bit up on it, and I just had to ask you a little bit about it so you could promote it, perhaps with my listening audience.
You see. One can talk a lot about that our music is spiritual, it is this, it is that, nada brahman, but it becomes a blah, blah only unless you can prove it to be so. And that is, what is that word in English? The proof is...
The proof is in the pudding, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unless it is really presented and has the effect, it is just waste of breath, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't do that. So I think it is more, you know, it tells only when you listen to it whether you get that effect or not. That is the final test.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of people listen to your music and they feel like they're going to gain spirituality or they use it to, you know, relax.
Exactly. You see, our music has what we call rasa.
Mm-hmm.
Rasas are the moods or emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And we, principally, it is, thousands of years ago, it has been very clearly defined in the science of music and arts about these nine rasas, moods, different, you know, happiness, joy, sorrow, this, that, excitement in different ways, then romance. So we do have all these emotions in music, but spiritual thing is the very important, which we always represent in the beginning to start with, you know, where you feel completely calm and relaxed and then feel more introvert, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Your eyes should get closed or you feel just relaxed in body and mind both. That is a foremost natural sequence of what happens, you know, or should happen.
It should happen, right.
It depends upon the artist, whether he can project it.
Right, and I suppose...
Not just talking about it, but, you know, artists should be really properly grounded to mm-hmm. be able to express that, really.
And I suppose it depends on the ear that's listening, too, to give it, you know, that fair chance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Proper guidance from the guru and his own working... It's a tremendous amount of work that one goes through. It's like being a yogi or anything, you know, to do it seriously.
So I suppose that when you want to relax or gain a little bit of introversion, do you choose symphony music?
Well,
where do you go?
I do that, and sometimes I feel, because even if I'm not playing the sitar, the music is always going in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes part of my meditation also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in speaking of the essence of the sound of your music, the aesthetic, the phrase tranquility and sadness are often used. How does this relate to your feeling that God is resident in your music?
Well, that is a way of thinking, you know. And it is natural for us because we have been grounded from the very beginning in our daily life of God's presence in everything and all that, you know. Sometimes it is channelized through going to temple. Sometimes it is channelized through some deity that you believe in. And all that helps, you know. But ultimately it is beyond all this. It has to become very, very subtle, and only it's in the mind. And with me, it has not been a problem, because having been born as a Brahmin priest family, you know, it has been all very natural for me to my tradition.
How you feeling these days?
How is what?
How you feeling? How's
Well, going 86 now.
Yeah, yeah.
I am, of course. I cannot run as much as I could, or, you know, I have to be careful. I had a little heart problem.
Sure.
I take my medicine.
Yeah.
But even then, believe me, music has kept me alive.
I believe that. I really do. And I just want to take this moment. I know I'm going to, I'm certainly going to let you go.
Yeah.
I know you have a very busy schedule, but I want to, of course, thank you for your time today.
God bless you.
I thank you so much. It's a privilege and an honor. And
thank you. I hope to see you if you...
You will. You will. I will see you. I'm sure we will make eye contact, and you'll know that it's me.
Okay.
And
is it 7:30 or 8?
Around 8 o'clock, yeah.
8 o'clock.
Yeah. And maybe I'll even try to get backstage.
How big a...